Well, good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? I see a lot of you smiling, talking. That's a good thing to see. How many of you are enjoying this cold weather today? Well, cold-ish, yeah. No more hot weather. It's finally time in October for it to cool down. Hey, we're glad you're here today. Why don't you come and find your seat? We're going to sing together this morning and worship God together. So come find a seat and we'll sing together. Sing this with me. I'm leaning.
And I'm leaning on the everlasting arms that placed me on the rock that stands. And I hold true to the one who breaks my foe and lifts me time and time again.
Come on, sing this together. Against flesh and blood, and we have divine power to break strongholds. The goodness of God is not just that He saved us and that we're going to heaven. That's just the beginning. The goodness of God is that in our lives and in our struggles, we have the power to break strongholds. And the power that we see in the Old Testament that would fall on people, that lives inside of us. The power of the Holy Spirit is a gift beyond salvation. So for some of you who were at the prayer night last night, this was a new song. For those of us who haven't heard it yet, this song is all about breaking strongholds because of the power of Jesus. And it doesn't matter if there's a storm, if there's a sun, He is with us in every single season. Sing, I am weary.
I am weary from the waves crashing over.
Spirit fall down upon the people of God. He fell down in fire. They called it Pentecost. And I believe in that moment, for the first time in the history of the world, people experienced the power of God in a way that they couldn't comprehend before. And in that moment, people were rejoicing. They were set free. Their bonds were broken. Imagine what it would be like if the people of God, if us in this room this morning, asked for the fire of God to fall on us, that He would break strongholds, He would break through the noise in our hearts and in the world, and He would do what He wants to do. Just imagine for a moment if the people in this room asked for God's fire to fall. What would happen? May we have the faith to be like the people in Acts chapter 1. God, may we have the faith this morning as we sing this next part, that Your fire would fall, Jesus, that You would do what You want to do in this place.
Shake the mountains, break the walls apart, open the heavens, Almighty God, You are overcoming, different.
sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how
good morning. You can be seated. We are so excited to have you at Replicate Church joining us out here today. As you may have noticed, Pastor Jared is out today, so he is over at Living Truth Church giving a message there today, so please keep him in your prayers. But we would like to go ahead and release any of our LTC kids back to the kids program now at this time. And also, if you have never filled out a bulletin to give us your contact information. I know Jared likes to say we're not going to show up at your door unless you want us to, but we would love to have a way to connect with you. So if you look at the back side of your bulletin, there's a QR code you can scan on your phone, or if you are technology challenged like me, there are some paper copies back at the Connect table for you that you can also use so that we can connect with you. We would love the opportunity to support you, pray with your family, and just be able to walk beside you as we go through life. But like I said, today's kind of a special day for us here at Replicate. If you aren't familiar with our church, we are actually a church plant out of a church called Living Truth, and it's out in Shamukla or Pace. And Jared and I had been there for several years, and then God called him to be a pastor. And we're so thankful that Pastor Norman just came alongside of Jared and really poured into him like a way that a man needs another man to do that. And so over the years, God grew that in him, and that is how this church came to be. And so we just feel so much love in our hearts for their family and for their church. And we would love for you guys just to give him a warm welcome this morning. Thank you.
Did that work? There we go. Amen. Thank you for that welcome. It is great to be here for Teresa, my wife, and I know that she had a discipleship experience with Tammy, and that was a great time. You were one of her favorites, just so you know. But it is our pleasure to be here. Great to see old friends meet new friends. And I just want to say that you guys are doing a great job. Tammy and Jared's not here. But Tammy, y'all are doing a great job. All of you, the leaders, in a short period of time. There you go. I see y'all over there, Mark, Patty, all right. But y'all are doing a great job. I see Josh, all right, back there, all right, go Noles, all right. I don't do that. See, I don't do that over there. I got to stay low. I may say some stuff here that I can't get away with over there, so all right. All right. But y'all have done a great job in a short period of time. I'm very proud of it. For those that don't know, I mean, Replicate started, I mean, right when COVID hit. I mean, so most of you probably know that story, but goodness gracious. So y'all are Replicate tough now. So, amen. But for those that don't know me, I mean, this might shock you, but I was born a sinner, son of a sinner, like all of you, right? Okay. My dad, my family, they were not believers. Sometimes people meet a pastor think we were just always that way, right? Whatever, in whatever way that is. I was raised in a family where of pretty much every adult male in my family was a functional alcoholic. And so I know what's what, you know. So people try to, you know, fake this or that. I know where I came from. I know where I don't want to go back to. Amen? And, you know, but God saved me at a young age, 8 years old. My parents didn't want me to go to a certain school, so they sent me to a Christian school, and I messed around and got saved. So came to know Jesus there and started telling other little kids about Jesus. I mean, the kids on my baseball team, that's just the way it was. I don't know. God just did that thing. I prayed for my dad for 9 years. When I was 17, he got saved. All right, amen. And then our family was then going to church all the time because he got radically saved. So if you're here and you've been kind of messing around with getting right and getting involved, I mean, what are you waiting on? It's time to go ahead and turn. But Teresa and I, we met, we got married 21, 23, just about that age. We're just about a month away from our birthdays, and when we steadily were having children, we got 4 kids, 5 grandkids, and we've been blessed in that. And I was in the tire business for 15 years when God called me to preach. So so it's never too late. So I think I was about 39 when I started. So Jerry got a little earlier starting that. Okay, so that's good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We just pray that as we come together and meet this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would move any distractions, whether that's physical, mental, emotional, whatever they might be, that you would speak to our hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So anytime that I have the opportunity to share about Jesus, to preach, I take it very seriously. I'm not a fill-in. I'm not a stand-in guy for Jared today. Hopefully, I believe that God's got, I know God has a word for somebody this morning. So there's nothing that says I've decided to follow Jesus like baptism. Amen? I mean, it just shows you've had an encounter, you've shared Jesus with somebody, they've prayed to receive Christ. We'll ask them next, hey, you ready to follow through in believer's baptism? Lord, I know that y'all do that a lot here. We do that. We've seen that where, I know it was just a couple of months ago, you saw that in Pacific Ocean. Y'all saw that where 4,500 people got baptized. I saw we're up at Auburn, a bunch of people got baptized recently. We know that that's a sign, that's symbolic that something happened. So what happens next? Are we just wet? I mean, we'll get a towel, dry off, right? But are we just wet? So what happens next? You know that baptism is just the beginning, amen? You know that? That's just a start, right? What did Jesus tell the crowds that were following him? And is following him really following him? Were they, I mean, just imagine with me, if you will, Jesus and this bunch of people walking after him, stirring up some dust and all that. I mean, they're walking out there. Were they really following Jesus, or were they just walking behind him? You know, we can just go to church. Come, stand up, sit down, maybe even sing a song, maybe even tune if you're good, you know. What are we doing? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture this morning where some people are considering legitimately following Jesus. If you want to go ahead and turn, you can turn in your Bible to Luke 9, and we'll be right there at the end of it. My man's going to show up some verses as I come to him in a little bit, but you can be there. But we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where some people are considering legitimately following Jesus. And in these encounters, Jesus doesn't water it down. I just need you to know, Jesus doesn't water it down. He makes it clear that what the cost of discipleship is. And I think that you'll see that according to Jesus, it is impossible to be a casual follower of Christ. I don't know if you're a note taker or not, but man, I'd write that down. It is impossible to be a casual follower of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus hurt some feelings. I mean, you ought to be getting your feelings hurt every now and then when you show up at church. And I know Jared doesn't, I know he doesn't water it down. So I didn't tell y'all, the title of this message really this morning is Ouch. We're going to look We're going to be in Luke 9, and this particular section parallels with Matthew chapter 8, if you want to look back at that. For at least two of the encounters, Jesus had performed numerous miracles. Crowds were checking things out. Miracles in the gospel will certainly draw potential followers, but not all for the right reasons. Sometimes people are just going for the show. Sometimes they're just going for the food. Sometimes, you get me? Matthew records that this was the context in which a scribe approached Jesus to declare his commitment to follow him. And you can reference that back at Matthew 8, 5 through 18. But in the context of Luke chapter 9, closing out, there's a turn in Jesus' ministry. Luke 9, 51 is a key verse in the Gospel of Luke. It's a turning point. And Luke 9, 51 says this, "When the days drew near to him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." Now, to be taken up, it means to die on the cross. See, to be taken up, Jesus was about to go up to the city of Jerusalem. Jesus was about to go up to the cross. And after all that, Jesus was about to go back up into heaven. So this is a key verse in the gospel. Jesus faces Jerusalem. It's time for him to head that way and do what he came to do. He literally begins a long walk towards Jerusalem, to the cross, to die. So he tells his disciples to set things up as he's going to pass through Samaria on his way. Now, if you remember in John chapter 4, the first time he cut through Samaria, they loved him. They didn't want him to leave. But by this time, somehow, they get wind that he is just passing through with Jerusalem as his ultimate destination. And the people in Samaria and the people in Jerusalem, they didn't like each other. Just the way I read that and take that, it was like the Samaritans were like, all right, if he was coming to hang out with them. But when they heard he was passing through to get to them, they didn't like that. So they were offended, and they made some rude comments. It says, quote, we're reading that, "But the people did not receive him, so they took another route." And on this route, we read the cost of following him. Luke 9, verse 57 says, "And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, 'I'll follow you wherever you go.'" Now, I don't know what prompts this man to say it, but he says, "I'll follow you, Jesus. I'll follow you wherever you go." What is he saying? Is that he's saying, "I will walk the path that you walk." But I want us to get this. I mean, a lot of us would say that. But Jesus' path is the way to the cross. I mean, that's been clearly stated in Luke. And someone said it this way, "The road to heaven is paved with a wholehearted commitment to follow Jesus." And that contrasts radically with the road to hell, which is paved with good intentions. In Matthew chapter 8, this man is identified as a scribe who had obviously become enamored with Jesus enough to make this statement. But Jesus knows the heart, and he knows the man doesn't realize what he's committing to. Sometimes I'll see somebody say, "Hey, I'll come be a part of that." I'm like, "Well, hang on, you know we really want you to be here every week, right? We need you. I'll commit." Maybe you say, I'll commit to help with childcare in here at the church. You know, the Sunday that you're signed up for, we need you in there. Don't be calling out Saturday night." And see, they're glad I said that. I hope Jared is saying stuff like this over there. And since I'm going ahead and slinging stuff, I'm just going to tell you, this morning I brought an offering, and I had to find, just in case, I had to find where to place it and put it. But I found it. First time here, and I found it. Some of y'all may have been coming a long time, and you hadn't figured that out yet. Just wanted you to know. You're welcome. This guy trying to help a brother out. This guy threw it in. Or y'all can just keep meeting here. All right. All right. That's it. That's all I'm going to do. It's all right. No. But Jesus knows the heart and he knows the man doesn't realize what he's committing to. You see, that commitment, I want to just give you an example. That commitment level is exemplified in the Old Testament story of Ruth. I don't know if y'all remember that story with Ruth. And you can just write this down. I'll read it. Ruth 1:16-18. It says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you.'" She said that to her mother-in-law, Naomi. "For wherever you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I lodge. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I'll die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that, she was determined to go with her. She said no more. She saw she was totally committed. She was stubborn about this. She's like, "All right, okay." Now, rarely would one read to death do us part into the vows for a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law, but that was the case for the great-grandmother of King David. Naomi told her daughter-in-laws to turn back from her and make a better life for themselves after her boys, both women's husbands, had died. But Ruth was committed. She said, "Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever, whoever's your God, I'm going to follow your God. Wherever you die, I'm going to die." I mean, that's a commitment. And Jesus is saying, you want to follow me? Well, here's the deal. In verse 58, Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man," which was Jesus' favorite name for himself, he said, "but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." See, this man had seen some cool things happening. I mean, Jesus is doing miracles. He's fed 5,000. He's doing all this stuff. See, ministry can look glamorous, so to speak, at times. He was likely influenced by the experience while Jesus pointed out the other 6 days of the week. That's where it hits, the other 6 days of the week. Jesus wanted to make sure he knew it wasn't all that. It's not all about the feeding of the 5,000. It's not all about the get up from my bed and walk. I mean, it's not all these things. It's not all about the great. I love to worship together with God's people. Amen? I love it. But it ain't all about that. Ministry gets messy. You're dealing with people's problems, and you're a person that had problems. You've been broken trying to help broken people. How's that going to turn out? I'm going to tell you, it's messed up. It's jacked up. Ministry gets messy. People are being rescued from some bad stuff. Amen. And it goes against the grain of the world system. You see, Jesus clarified the implications of discipleship, particularly self-denial, sacrifice, service, suffering. Jesus makes it clear that following him is not easy. It's not easy. He's homeless. That's what he's telling them. "I don't even have a place to stay at. And you want to follow me, just know what you're getting into." Jesus was pointing out what he had already said in Luke 9:23, that to follow him requires a life of self-denial, not self-indulgence. Not saying everyone has to be homeless. He's just stating a fact. It's not easy following Jesus. Will you really follow him wherever he goes? Our discipleship pastor, God called him, and his call was to go to Africa. When God called me, he called me to quit my job. Jared, same thing. I'm just telling you, praise God, he doesn't tell everybody to go to Africa and doesn't ever call everybody to quit their job, all right? That's not the call that he puts on everyone. But whatever call he puts on you, you need to do that. You see, God needs people to work right where you're working at. We need people on the inside. Who is going to reach them? I think of the testimony of a famous pastor telling how his dad came to faith in Christ from a fellow factory worker. But Jesus makes it clear that there is a cost to following him. I appreciate that one of our guys said after returning from a recent mission trip, he invited others to give of their time and to go next year, but he also opened it up for folks that could give money so that others could give of their time. See, most of the folks that go on these mission trips give of their time and their money, and they go on these trips. But as a disciple, you've already resigned to sacrifice. Our oldest daughter went on a mission trip to Africa for 3 months. Pretty blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. She had to, and we had to resign to some facts. I mean, not that we could have stopped her from going. She had her mind made up. But we still had to. But you don't think of it as a cost. You think of it of obedience, of doing what Christ has called you to do. It's obedience. You know what? And I found out that God always blesses the yes. Luke 9, verse 59. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So the first person that said he'd follow Jesus wherever was unsolicited. He just showed up and said it. Jesus didn't ask him to follow him. But Jesus said to another person, note, now I want you to note this, that a bunch of folks were following Jesus as casual disciples. It was said that scribes knew how to make good excuses so as not to be active disciples. We are good excuse makers, aren't we? So, he said to another, follow me. Follow me was the same command that Jesus gave to Matthew. Remember Levi, the tax collector, sitting in the booth. He responded by giving up all and following Jesus right then and there in Luke 5, 27. You see, Jesus is not calling for a follow on Facebook or Instagram. No, this is real stuff. Jesus is calling for us to walk in his steps. 1 John 2, 6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way he walked. If you're abiding in Christ, if you're obedient to him, you should be walking the same way he's walked. Yes, this is a call to become his disciple. However, it is not a call to certain groups of radical believers, us 12 and no more. It's not just for me, Jared, Tammy, Teresa. It's for all that claim the name of Christ. This is a command issued that Jesus himself issued to all believers because all believers are his disciples. You see, disciple, not Christian, is the most referenced word in the Bible for a believer. We are called Christians 4 times. 3 out of 4 are bad. They're making fun of us. 260 times you believers are called disciples. I can see why we might not like that name, because the disciple means, I don't know, that's where we get the word discipline from. Sounds like a little serious commitment. Just call me a Christian and be crystallized. I'm a Christian. It's what all believers are to be. This man, he gave an excuse. He wanted to put off following Jesus. Procrastinate, go bury my father. He told that man to let the dead bury the dead, go preach the kingdom of God. So in Jewish tradition, the duty of burial took precedence over the study of the law, temple service, killing of the Passover lamb, the observance of circumcision. So this man made a grade A excuse. I mean, he's thinking, you ever made an excuse to somebody to get out of something? You're like, they'll take that and I'm good. Well, this guy thinks he's telling Jesus, like, you know, he's trying to Jesus juke Jesus. You don't Jesus juke Jesus. So Jesus is putting this wannabe disciple on notice that the preaching of the kingdom of God comes over even the burial of his father. Here's a hint. Jesus doesn't take excuses no matter how good we think they are. He tests our love for him. You see, we are supposed to love him above all, mother, father, spouse, etc. Jesus said that. And in this case, some of the most sacred Jewish customs. This was prompting from Jesus in living color. Jesus is standing in front of this man in living color. He's saying to come follow me. How often do we miss the prompting of the Holy Spirit compelling us to take some sort of next step in Jesus? And here he is standing right in front of them and telling it to them. People get that loving feeling in church like, God, I hear you. I hear you what you're calling me to do. But way too often, that loving feeling leaves the second we hit the parking lot. Even right now, some of you think God's been calling you to do something. Maybe it is to believe, accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe it's to follow through in believer's baptism. Maybe it's some kind of next step he's been calling you to do. And you're feeling it, but you're like, man, you're like me on that Hulk. Anybody ever ride the Hulk at Universal? I'm like, I don't like roller coasters, but I figure I can handle 2 minutes of anything. You know, kids are all, let's go do it again. I did it. I'm done. And some of us will think that. We'll get that feeling that God's calling us to do something. I'm like, or maybe this is it. You can go to church. You can hang out. And then you're like, I can make it through church without doing anything. We're easily distracted. And the same principle is visible in our daily lives. How many times were you prompted to write a note, send a text of sympathy or congratulations, just check on someone, and you put it off and you never did it? This was likely such a moment for this man. Jesus knows the heart. If we won't do it now, I need you to hear this. If we won't do it now, we probably won't do it later. And Jesus knew it about this guy. You see, Jesus urges us to act right when the Holy Spirit is compelling us. So if you're home this week sometime and God puts somebody on your heart and you don't know what that's about, you text him. You say, hey, praying for you. You do something and you just see what God is up to. I'm not such a nice person that I think about people. But when somebody comes to my mind, I'm like, what? I have learned that the Holy Spirit can do that, and I'll send them a text, and then they'll send me some long text. How'd you know? I'm like, whoa, easy. I was just being obedient. I'm encouraging you to do that. Listen, if we don't do it now, we probably won't do it later. He stirs our hearts to action, but he won't make us do it. Many people treat their decisions for any kind of next step that Jesus is calling them to like Goldilocks and Three Bears. You know, it's, this was too hot, this was too cold, and we never get to just right. Back in February, I remember somebody coming to me. We baptized in the creek. We don't even use that thing. We just go to the creek all the time. Today, we're baptized. I mean, it doesn't matter. Cold, whatever. 32 degrees, we might not do that, all right? But just, we do it. But I remember last February, somebody said, hey, me and my daughters or somebody, maybe I need to be more anonymous than that. We were going to get baptized. We won't get baptized, but we won't wait till it warms up. Here where I'm, and just the other day I'm talking, I'm thinking, it's July. I'm just telling you, it ain't getting no cool warmer. They're about to be in, it's about to start getting cold again. We wait for it to get just right. I'm just telling you, it ain't ever just right. If you're waiting to become a Christian till you shuck some sins off, forget about it. You won't shuck them off. You need to get saved and let God clean you up. You can't do it on your own. See, the just right time to do what Jesus says is right when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Right then. You don't know He's talking to you later. He may not. Not later. Not when you've got your ducks in a row. Not after you've made all your money. Not after you've whatever excuse you've made. No, it's when Jesus is calling. You pick up the phone. You know what to do. Do it. And once one genuinely follows Christ, the call above all calls is to share the gospel. You don't hog that up. The gospel came to you on its way to somebody else. And then we read in Luke 9, 61 and 62. Yet another said, I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm just telling you, Jesus was not being nice. No. But he's telling the truth. And sometimes our feelings need to get hurt. Amen. So another said, I'll follow you, but first let me say my goodbyes. And these are more good intentions, right? I just will say, nothing wrong. It doesn't sound like anything's wrong with that. I just will say goodbye to them. But this guy even calls Jesus Lord. Oh, yeah. Peter called Jesus Lord when he saw the miraculous catch of fish in Luke 5:8. But Jesus has already warned that you can call him Lord, but that is meaningless if you refuse to obey him. Luke 6:46. This man needed to fall down at the feet of Jesus like Peter, but tragically he did not. Instead, he set limits. He was unwilling to surrender. Listen, delayed obedience is disobedience. Amen. That's right. Jesus said, no one, after getting to work following him, no one who looks back or tries to hang on to the old life is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus isn't being mean. He looks at the man's heart. He hasn't even started following Jesus yet, and he's looking back. It doesn't work that way. Following Jesus is not a casual, whenever you find the time kind of thing. No doubt he has many casual followers that give him the leftovers. But would Jesus call them? Would Jesus call you his disciple? And let me add this too, because plenty of folks have served Christ greatly in days gone by. Oh, I used to do this. I used to do that. I love when people come to our church and say, I worked 13 years in the nursery or children's whatever, and I'm still waiting about 3 years later if they're going to do anything. I will. I don't get it. I don't understand that. See, following Jesus is not a casual, whenever you find the time kind of thing. Your commitment to living for Christ is not a phase of life you outgrow. You don't retire from kingdom of God work. You may serve him in other ways. I don't work with kids anymore. I want to work. Okay, all right, that's fair. But we need you. The church needs you. You don't sit the bench. Never let this be said by one of his disciples, I used to share Jesus with people, or I used to serve at church. Listen, you don't stop until the ticker stops. Amen. Discipleship calls for surrender. Jesus makes it clear that it is not optional. I understand comfort will keep a lot of people from being serious disciples of Jesus. We don't want to give up time, the calendar, or stray away from the friendly confines of the house. I'm going to come back and kind of review here with the two let me's. Let me first go bury my father. Let me say goodbye to my people. Let me first go is procrastination. Procrastination hinders many from discipleship from the get-go. They say they want to be a follower of Christ. They say that they will follow him anywhere, but they never start. They 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 never get around to it. They set limits on what they will do or give when it comes to following Christ. And make no mistake, following the footsteps of Jesus is what discipleship is all about. That's what it's all about. It's not the meal ticket, you know, my meal ticket to heaven because I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember, demons believe and they know that. So if you just know in your head about Jesus, you're as good as a demon, all right? There's that. God looks at the heart, and authentic faith will be stepped out. There will be feet put to faith. Jesus makes it clear. It is not easy, and Jesus is looking for total surrender. So he tells the third person, don't look back. And once you've decided to follow Jesus, don't look back. I was talking to somebody recently that has tried everything in the world, everything that the world had to offer. They've been through some traumatic things in their life, some things that happened when they were younger, the kind of things that you don't get over, things that lead you to drugs and alcohol and going to counselors and after one counselor, after all that. This person came into my office. And why did they come to my office? Well, they came to church because somebody just invited them to church. I could see that person standing in church. I could see them in church. Of all the people in church, I could see this one person so stiff. I could just see, man, you know, you can see that in people sometimes. But I met this person. I prayed with him. But he came and sat in my office and sat through sermon, a few sermons after sermon. I could see slowly seeming to break free a little bit. But sat in my office and says, I surrender. Now this person's in a D group with me. But before that, they're like, what's next? What's next? I'm just not surrendering. What is next? What are my next steps? And he came back the next week and said, you know what? All of that stuff that was bothering me, it's gone. Amen. I've been to all these treatments, all these things. He says, I've surrendered and I'm fine. I'm fine. He's been set free. I hope that you can be set free. Listen, Jesus is not trying to hurt your feelings or to mess up your life by getting you to totally surrender. You're already messed up. Jesus is not trying to mess your life up. Your life is messed up. He's trying to set you free. And by the way, I want to make it clear, Jesus does not ask us to do anything that he would not or has not already done. You see, he surrendered to the cross when he left heaven to come to earth. Now, you may think that he died on the cross, but he died long before then. In Scripture, we can see that he was resigned to the cross as early as Genesis 3:15. He's the one to come. So at the end of Luke chapter 9, Jesus is headed to the cross. He has surrendered. There's no turning back. He knows where he's going. He's not been caught by surprise, blindsided, trapped, snuck up on, kidnapped. They didn't like sneak up on him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew what was going on. No, he is going willingly to the cross. He is going to be betrayed. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be spit on. He's going to be rejected. He's going to be tortured. He's going to be crucified. And he's going that way on purpose. He's not pulling a Jonah. He's not going the opposite way. No, he resolutely faced Jerusalem and headed that way. If you're going to follow Christ Jesus into heaven, there's a good chance you're going to follow him through hell on the way. You need to know this. Jesus uses the example of these three to drive home the point of Luke 9:23. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. These three are examples of what prevents or hinders people from genuinely following Jesus. That is obeying the commands of Christ. You see, there is no such thing as a casual disciple. You either follow him everywhere or not. You're acquainted with Jesus or you have a relationship with Jesus. I don't think acquaintances are going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Which is it? Which is it for you? These three were potential converts. They were almost converts, which means they were not converts. They said the right things. They wanted to follow Jesus. They believed in him, but they would not take the next steps and actually follow Jesus. And he laid it out. He made it clear. He said, if you're coming, come on. Deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. This is an everyday thing. Follow me. Walk my path. You see, Jesus was headed to the cross. He set conditions that led each of them to walk away from eternal life. And know this, not now. And maybe there's somebody here, you're thinking about taking that step that God's been calling you to take for quite some time. Know this, not now usually means not ever. When's the Holy Spirit going to come back to you and reach out again like this? And Jesus knew that. That's why he was so passionate. And that's why Jared preaches passion. That's why I'm preaching passion. That's why preachers preach passion. Because we know if God's dealing with you right now, but if you don't do it now, we know it may not be ever. That's what Jesus was telling them. He, Jesus, the way, the life, the truth, standing right in front of them. It doesn't get any better than that. They made their decision with God standing right there. So let me ask you this morning, what is your excuse? Jesus didn't say, I'm not going to make this easy on anyone this morning. You see, the standard for following Jesus is self-denial, self-sacrifice, and self-submission. A whole lot of dying to self in there. And consider this. I want you to think about this. When is the last time you said no to yourself in order to say yes to Jesus? Are you following Jesus totally or kind of following Jesus? And these are all good questions. Don't ignore them. And don't put off what the Holy Spirit is urging you to do right now. And don't worry about other people in here. Everybody else got their own problems. He's speaking to you right now. Did you say to Jesus, I'll follow you, but I'm not doing that? Did you say to Jesus, I'll follow you, but in my obedience, I'm not going to do that? Have you put limits on your response to God? Because if you have, that's not surrender. Jesus said, follow me. What is your response? Are you part of the fellowship of Christ? You see, the church needs disciple makers. People being saved need to be discipled. A handful of folks can't do all the discipling. They can't do all the discipling. We saw a video the other day where 1,000 people were baptized in India. In my heart, as I'm watching that, I'm thinking, who's going to disciple each of them? And that's to be your church, right, too. You're thinking, they come out of the water, who's going to be discipling them? Jesus needs you to free up your time, your calendar, die to self, and disciple some folks so they can disciple others. That is kingdom work for living truth, for replicate, for God's universal church. Christ commands us to make disciples that make disciples. That is how the church replicates. It's how people are born again. It's how new churches are birthed. It's how the gospel is carried forward. So what will your response to Jesus' call to follow me be? Will it be one of simple obedience or excuses? Some need to follow Jesus in salvation, baptism, or maybe just free up your calendar to disciple new believers. Maybe there's somebody here. You're sitting here with a wealth of Bible knowledge up here, just holding it in, and there are people that need that. What is your response today? Now is your time to respond in whatever way you respond. It could be to come to talk to Tammy, myself, Chris, I don't know who's out here. I'd be glad to. I'm sure you have connect cards for people to share with you their response. Hey, I've decided to, I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me about, it could be something that you're living in disobedience. It could be, you know what, I'm shutting up. You know what it is for you. Do it.
To us this morning that there has never been a moment in the history of our lives that God has not been there, that He has not sought us out. And for those of us this morning who are resisting that feeling of the Holy Spirit knocking at our door, would our chest just open up to Him? Would that rush that we sing about, would you just open it up to Him? Would you just give it up? Because He's good. Sing this with me. My heart,
and my heart's been in Your sight.
Of announcements that we want to share with you guys before we dismiss today. You have these on the back of your bulletin, but I'm just going to kind of follow along. Next Sunday, we will not be here in the Agriplex. There is an event that's being hosted here that we cannot be here for, so we are going to be meeting at East Milton Elementary School. If you need directions to that, let us know. But I just wanted to take a minute and tell you what a huge deal that is, that we are meeting in an elementary school. You might be thinking, oh, it's an elementary school, not a big deal. It's a huge deal because we've been praying for years that God would open up a door to that school, not just to love on the staff and the students there, but also just to be able to connect with the school and to be able to have a place as a backup opportunity for us sometimes. Because when you're a portable church, you have to have some options. And for a couple of years now, we've not had an open door there, and God has opened up the door for us to be able to meet there next Sunday. And so I just want you to rejoice in that with us. I think it's amazing that God's done that. And hopefully we'll be able to continue to have relationships and be able to deepen our relationships that we have with that school and the staff that's there. And then also, if you signed up to come to the women's retreat that's coming up in a couple of weeks, our final payments are due today. So see Michelle Kinney after church if you think you have a balance, or if you're not sure, we can help you find that out. And then our SALT meeting, the last one of the year, is going to be October 25th here at the Agriplex from 6 to 8. That is just a strategy and leadership training, and we would love for you guys to come. You do not have to be in a leadership position to be there. This is something that we invite everybody to come to so you can see the vision that God is taking our church in, and so you can be a part of that. And then also, lastly, if you're interested in learning more about what we do here, we have our Discover Replicate class coming up November the 5th. And if you're interested in that, you can see me, probably Sean, or I can let you get in contact with Jared. I'll give you his info. But I just wanted to tell you guys something that really stood out to me today as Pastor Norm was sharing his message. You know, you talked about whenever people were called to follow Christ and how they had this hesitancy, right? And I was thinking about, you know, you mentioned comfort being a reason why people don't say yes to Jesus. And I think that's a huge part of it. But I think another part of it is we have trust issues, right? We've all been hurt and we have trust issues. And sometimes that flows over into our faith. And I was thinking about when God called Jared to pastor a church, he was called much sooner than I was. I wasn't called right away. And I really, really grappled with that. Sorry if I tear up. But that was a terrifying decision for us, more so for me, because I have trust issues. But I can say this, the reason why I finally said yes to following God in that decision was because I trusted my husband. I trusted him because he's shown me a lifetime of being able to trust him, that he's trustworthy and that he's safe. And I wanted to say, I don't say that because I want you to see Jared as safe and trustworthy. I say that because Jesus is safe and he's trustworthy. And if you're grappling with the decision to follow him, or you're grappling with other decisions to make next steps with him, I want you to know firsthand, he is so safe. He's the safest arms I've ever ran into. And I want you to know that from a personal experience. And so today as you go, I pray that you'll follow through with those next steps. Reach out to those people that God's calling you to reach out to. Sometimes it's those small things, sometimes it's those big things, but if I can, I would love to pray for you. Father God, I thank you for this day, God. Thank you that we got to gather together as believers, Lord. Thank you for letting us be your body, God. Thank you for letting us be your hands and feet to a world that needs you so desperately. God, fill us with your hope. Fill us with a desire to chase after you. God, help us to go out and have the strength and the courage to do what you've called us to do, to share you with other people, to disciple those that are not as far along as we are, God. Help us to do that yes thing that Pastor Norm talked about today, God. And God, I pray not just for Replicate, God, but I pray for Living Truth Church, God. I pray for the people there, God, that they will keep running and chasing after you with everything that they have in them, until their heart stops. And God, I pray that we would be a people like that. I pray that Replicate would be a church that could send out people from this place to go and plant new churches so that other people will learn and hear about you, God, and choose you. I pray that more people will be in heaven because you've given us what we need to be obedient to you, God. God, help us to be disciples of yours, God, that don't look back. Help us to chase after you, God. We love you so much, Jesus, and we just thank you for today. We pray this in your name. Amen.